I got blisters on my fingers.
Oh, man. So, welcome to
Armbar,
your favorite wrestling podcast that there ever was, ever will be. And
ever will be again?
Yes. Yeah, whatever.
Sure, whatever.
Anyways, we're going to start off this podcast a bit of a somber note. For many of you, probably like I should probably follow JR on Twitter. He tweeted that his wife was in an accident. She was coming home from the gym on her Vespa, not wearing her helmet, unfortunately.
I actually did not hear about that until
and
right
she
now.
She was hit from behind, suffered severe brain trauma.
That's awful.
And is currently on life support. So our thoughts go out to her and JR, respectively. Hopefully she has a speedy recovery.
Yes. Because no one wants to hear about that. I mean, no one... Yeah, it's bad juju all around.
Yeah, it's especially sad for me to hear about, because I know I told you, I don't know if I've shared on the podcast, that one of my coworkers was best friends with JR's wife in college.
Oh, yes, that's right. You told me about that.
JR, stuff like that. And she hasn't been in good health. She actually retired because of her health. So
oh, really? Oh.
Hopefully she hasn't heard about this if she's still not doing too well.
Yeah, hopefully she recovers fast and recovers.
Exactly. So we'll probably, if we hear anything new, we'll probably post it on our Twitter or something like that. So anyways, moving on to other unfortunate news. Paige's cell phone was stolen and then hacked, and some compromising videos and pictures.
It's
of
bad
her
stuff.
Brad Maddox and former WWE tag team champion Xavier Woods.
I'm not gonna make the joke.
Were leaked. but there was questions surrounding how the WWE deal with Xavier Woods. Because, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. Just consenting adults.
Yeah. They weren't. It's not like they were on camp or like on WWE television doing that.
No, or like they leaked it on purpose.
Or even in the locker room. It's not like they were off the clock. They were doing stuff that they do, you know, in the privacy of their hotel room.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like they leaked it. I mean,
yeah.
And there's a precedent for this. I mean, Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
That got leaked, and nothing happened to him. WWE, however, did keep New Day out of the arena. Their segment was filmed backstage so that they could control the atmosphere.
I feel like they actually did something similar to that to Seth Rollins.
Though it was pretty funny. The segment opened up with Xavier Woods in the middle, and Kofi and Big E just staring at him, go, "Do you have something you want to tell us?"
No? Okay, then.
So that was a nice way of handling that by WWE and the New Day, because you can't really punish Xavier Woods, A, for something that
he did in the past.
Yeah, he did way in the past, because Brad Maddox was still there.
Yeah.
He's been gone for, what, 2-3 years now?
Something like that.
Yeah, so that was... And Paige was still the NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, so she wasn't even on
the
main
roster.
The belt
makes a fantastic cameo. I haven't seen it, I've only heard. I have not watched. I don't watch leaked stuff like that because I feel it's an invasion of privacy. But I hear the NXT Women's title makes a cameo of sorts in the video. So...
Okay.
My God.
Oh, my God.
But it doesn't look like Xavier Woods or the New Day is going to be punished. And I say or the New Day only because Xavier Woods
strategically
missing would hurt them in general.
Yeah. That'd be messed up if they just punished the New Day as a whole.
You're all suspended. What did
we do? What did I do? I was mad.
You should have stopped him. We didn't know him at the time. Doesn't matter.
Oh, that'd be so awful. Though I did just see the next thing on the docket. And that surprises the hell out of me.
Yeah, so breaking news. Jim Cornette, Mr. Bitches About the WWE, every chance he gets on his podcast.
A.K.A. Biddle!
Will be inducting the Rock and Roll Express into the WWE Hall of Fame, which makes this must-watch TV for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was going
to
watch...
At least that segment, because I got to see what good old JC has to say.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I enjoyed the Hall of Fame ceremony last year. You couldn't make it to that.
I was dead tired, man.
Which is understandable. You had that whole day, and you were at WrestleMania, so...
Yeah, well, we got in on Friday.
Yeah.
Had the NXT TakeOver Friday night. That didn't end until way past 11.
Yeah.
Then we had the whole day in Dallas doing the access and everything like that. And I think they're doing it smart this year, because the Hall of Fame's on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
TakeOver Saturday, then Mania.
Yeah. Man.
But Kevin Owens was asked about it on Twitter, what he thought about Jim Cornette. Because, you know, they had their little beef when Kevin Owens became WWE Universal Champion.
That's right.
And Kevin Owens was
that.
Like, oh, glad to see him here. And I'll welcome him back when he can induct me into the Hall of Fame. So, nice little thing. So yeah, good old Jimmy's back in the fold, like Vince likes people, which is hilarious because he always like, Vince always wants to give people back in the fold, blah, 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 so he can feel he has control and that he's better than them. He's not doing it to me. It's amazing how we whore ourselves out for money, right, Jim? Right, good old JC, Jim Cornette. You gonna bring your tennis racket, dipshit?
He's gonna make it rain. With that paycheck that he's gonna get. With
all the strippers. Because yeah, I'm sure Orlando has better strippers than Kentucky.
He'll make that face that you always see on the Botchmania icon. He's like,
it'd be great if like Jim Cornette comes out to Dr. and then out of nowhere, Vince McMahon comes out with a chair shot. Boom!
Shit ain't forgotten.
Fuck you.
Oh man, that would be kind of funny.
And speaking of funny, I hope all of you got to watch Southpaw regional wrestling. That shit was hilarious.
You made me watch it last night, and I don't regret the fact that you made me stay up late to watch that.
Don't spoil any of the punchline, because the punchline, like, because it kind of builds, like, it's four episodes, they're all, like, stacked on each other. The punchline at the end is
fantastic.
Is fucking hilarious. Great. Oh, I lost my shit, and,
this will ruin us.
And Rusev steals the show. Rusev playing a country American farmer is so great. And then Lana's
facial expressions were hilarious.
Because she's crazy.
Yeah.
And then Jericho as the backstage announcer. But the best though was the inside rib. And kudos for your boy TJ Perkins playing along. Because he played the charismatic champion who had zero charisma.
Don't you touch my microphone!
Much like TJ Perkins. All of that is great. The only thing I need to know is about that, and feel free to leave this in the comments if you know, who was that luchador and who is the sea creature? Everybody else, I knew who they were.
I feel like the sea creature might have been Titus O'Neil.
Really? Because I was thinking Cesaro.
Maybe. But the luchador, I could not tell.
Yeah, the luchador, I mean, best guess because it's a hairy dude. And, the best was Steven Larson, we're trying to guess, too.
Mm.
And Larson was like, was it Cesaro? And Steve goes, no, I'd recognize his nipples anywhere. Those weren't his. And I was like, same here, man! Like, he has got very distinct nipples. They're almost like tattoos. And you can just, like, tell. Like, he
could
never
But you could always see them whenever you order a pizza.
Yep. So the luchador and the sea creature, I need to know. I feel the sea creature, right? Would be Cesaro. The luchador, maybe Seth Rollins? Because I just don't know who's that hairy. But the luchador
maybe
didn't
it was
look
an angle.
Ripped enough.
Maybe it was the angle that they shot him.
Was
I thought
Kurt
it,
Angle?
No. But I thought, it, like, the guy was, like, really... I felt like the guy was really tall and a little on the lanky side, but still really built. But I couldn't tell who it was.
Now we'll have to watch that frame by frame.
Yeah.
We're going to have to analyze that more than the Sabruta film from the Kennedy assassination. Jeez. But no, Southpaw Regional Wrestling is great. It's one of the funniest things WWE's produced in a while. And apparently, like, that all started was, like, that's something, like, they do backstage. Or, like, they just fuck around and stuff like that, which I could see.
Yeah.
And lastly, on our general news segment that we're now kicking off the program with, the Hardys have been offered a WWE contract.
Woo!
I think it was PWI who reported this. I should have wrote that down on our little teleprompter. Mm. But I forgot to do that, so we're just going to assume PWI. Anyways, the rumor is the Hardys have been offered a contract, which will play into my post-Mania prediction later.
They're
going to be at Mania.
Exactly.
But let's get on with the rest of the show. Raw. Where the fuck is Finn Balor?
Yeah,
him to show up. I expected, like, because they say there's always been a plan for Finn at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, and we'll talk about it more, we have Triple H versus Seth, not Seth versus Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. I fully expected Samoa Joe not to relinquish that Kahina clutch on Sammy, and then we hear Finn's music kick, and then he comes out and beats his ass, because Finn has been teaming with Sammy and Jericho at the house show. So I fully expected Finn to show up there, because I feel him showing up 6 days before Mania, though, cutting it kind of close. Like, granted, Finn versus Joe, I'm all for that Mania. I don't need a build-up.
At this point, I feel like they're just going to keep him off TV until Mania.
No, he's got to. If he's going to have a match at Mania,
I think he's going to
be on TV. You can't have a surprise match at Mania.
I didn't say a match. I think he's just going to be a surprise.
No.
I think it's going to be a run.
But then what's Joe going to do?
J- Joe's going to do what you were talking about, and then Finn will just run in and make the save.
Do what I'm talking about to who?
To Sami Zayn.
Joe doesn't have a match for Sami Zayn at Mania.
Then why did you say doesn't release the Kahuna Clutch on Sami Zayn?
During Raw.
Oh, during Raw.
Did you not watch the opening match of Raw?
No.
Jesus.
I did not.
Yeah, well, you beat the shit out of Sami again. But it was a great match because Sami fucking hit his through the ropes DDT. Mm. God, I love that move. So great. He hasn't done that much on the main roster. So he hit that.
Yeah.
But Joe, of course, beat him because Joe beat Sami Zayn. Mm. And just Joe was holding on to that. So I was expecting Finn to come down. Didn't happen. So I don't know what they're going to do with Finn.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I feel like they're going to be like, well, Finn and Joe have a background with each other, which was a great rivalry on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for us NXT fans. A lot of the people who watch Raw don't watch NXT, so they're not going to know.
Which is a shame.
I feel they're cutting it close. You don't even watch NXT that much.
That's very
which
true.
Is a shame. Talking down to people. You're better than them.
Well, I am the champ, and I'm here.
Really? Oh, that'd have been great to get on camera.
No. Definitely.
So Mick Foley finally got fired. Had his little walkout, giving hugs to Cesaro and Sheamus. Oh, thanks, buddy, for putting us together. And then Bayley. And then Triple H comes out of nowhere, though. He was, like, standing right next to Bayley. And it'd been great. It's like, I didn't see you there. Really? I was right there. Because, yeah, like, line of sight, man. There's no way he couldn't see Triple H. Like, he just popped out there, and Triple H, of course, dicking it up. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Get out. You're fired. They should have had security rough him up on his way out. That's what I would have done. And security's going to rough you up on your way out. Oh, of course.
Standard procedure.
Exactly.
Just look at what happened with Buff Bagwell.
Can't let the Foley stay in. Mm. But, that's pretty funny. So then we had Chris Jericho do the high... Oh, sorry, excuse me. The return of the highlight reel with Chris Jericho.
Yes.
And he showed us the real Kevin Owens, which is Kevin Owens wearing a Y2J shirt.
Yeah, I like how he
doing the pose.
I like how they dug up that picture.
But the best part was, so King Ross on WTF Moments on What Culture Wrestling, how he does his Vince McMahon likes big sweaty men song.
Yeah.
He, and I'm not going to try to sing it all, but he did one for Kevin Owens, like, Kevin Owens likes, Y2J draws and chesty blondes because he had a draws figure on top of his computer, which I didn't notice at first. Like, what the fuck has he got a draws figure? Who the fuck likes draws?
Kevin Owens likes draws.
Kevin Owens likes draws. He likes crippled and dead.
Well, Vince McMahon liked draws. Remember him behind the mat or beyond the mat? He's gonna puke! He's gonna puke!
No, I've never seen Beyond the Mat.
It's kind of depressing. Don't even bother.
Yeah, I don't care to.
It's a bunch of wrestlers that are either dead or retired or crippled.
So it's like watching WrestleMania 8 and 9.
Yes. Except more depressing.
I don't know if there's anything more depressing than WrestleMania 9. The WrestleMania 9 holds a soft spot for me.
Wasn't that the one outdoors? The Coliseum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's the first
Giant
one I ever, that's the first one I ever watched live.
Okay.
Because I'd seen WrestleMania 8, maybe? 7 or 8, whichever was the one where Macho Man won the title. Against Ric Flair. No.
Against Ric Flair.
Yeah, that was 8. He beat Ric Flair at 8. So it had to have been 7, because I think it was the Macho King at 7 when he lost to Warrior.
Yeah.
7 was the first one I ever saw, because, like, Fox aired it the following Saturday after it was on pay-per-view.
I think 12 was the first one I ever saw, and that was because of Devin. So, yeah, that was around the time I started watching wrestling.
It's funny, because, like, I saw 9, 10 live, didn't see 11.
I believe then, like, you showed
12,
me
12, yeah. Then I saw 12 live. Didn't get 13, and then I had, like, 14 on up. Like, I had, like, pretty much all the other WrestleManias after that.
I started renting the videos from Video World.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Video World.
My buddies and I would just all pool money and then give the money to my parents for the WWE pay-per-views. Usually we got the Rumble, we got Mania, and SummerSlam, usually.
Mm.
The occasional In Your House pay-per-view or whatever they were called. Much like we did in high school, where we'd pay off my parents.
Pretty much, yeah.
We did that, too. And now we just have the network and... We're making it rain. We got the money. We don't even worry about it.
Golf Rain.
Yeah, so the highlight reel is pretty good. Add more feud, and that might be the best feud we got going in the Mania right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's been the longest build.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one I think most people are interested in.
Yeah,
speaking of Mania, we got another person added to the women. You know what? There's like Stephanie's big women's revolution thing, the Divas Revolution. One day have the women main event WrestleMania. You know how you're not going to main event WrestleMania?
With
a one women's match is a fatal four-way and the other, I don't even know how many women are in the SmackDown match. Because Daniel Bryan just said, all the women.
All of them.
And you know what I hope, you know, other than Alexa Bliss, you know who I hope comes out on top of the women's match on SmackDown? Eva Marie. I can just hear all the boos.
Oh, that reminds me, just a quick little note, because I don't know if you heard it. Did you hear that Naomi's dad might have inadvertently spoiled her return?
No.
Yeah, because he said that on Twitter that she was going to be ready by Mania. Mm. And then he had to delete that tweet.
Dumbass.
Oh my gosh, man.
I wonder how true that is, though. Because she only has one shirt, and it's in the clearance section of the WWE shop. That's never a good thing.
No, it's
and
not.
And it's for less money than Jack Swagger's shirt, so.
They go get that Jack Swagger shirt.
We, the people. So she's been added to Mania. Yay. Which means it's just when Sasha comes out on top, it's just going to make it feel less special.
Don't think I didn't notice that yay, that Adam yay. The yay. Adam from what culture? Yay.
That's just my... And then when I said Sasha, I meant Bailey. I don't know who's going to win that match, just as long as it's not Charlotte. I'm tired of seeing it. We don't need her to beat her dad's record in a year.
I feel like Dana would just screw her out of winning anyway.
Probably, because I think they're going to feud afterwards.
Yeah.
I kind of like Dana Brooke as a face. A lot of people shit on that. I like it.
Yeah, it was a nice change of pace.
And then another match added, because it's now a triple threat match for the WWE tag title. I can't remember how that went. But basically, it was the club and Enzo and Cass versus Sheamus and Cesaro. For some reason, Enzo and Cass were like, fuck having a one-on-one match, let's fuck over the club. And then Sheamus and Cesaro win, and they're in it, and now it's a triple threat tag match.
Yeah, that whole segment was kind of just a cluster.
Yeah. Yeah, smart guys to try to have a good match at Mania, you can't teach that because those two are dipshits. God,
oh, man, that was so dumb. Like, I feel like...
I know I'm trying to apply logic to pro wrestling, but...
I kind of feel like this feud, this random three-way feud, is kind of ruining Enzo and Cass.
I feel the tag divisions on both shows are ruined because we got the club who are awesome and have been dominant everywhere they went. Being treated like shitty champions.
That's also very
jobbing true. Out to Roman Reigns. And SmackDown, we'll get to that, doesn't know what the fuck they're doing with their tag division.
But by the way, the club was awesome in Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Yes, they were.
They were hilarious.
Fucking Chad Too Bad and Tex. I can't remember what.
I almost called him Tex-Mex. I don't know why.
So did I just love Chad Too Bad. And the Ascension were pretty good. And
oh, yeah, that's right. They were. They were hilarious, too.
John Cena and Fandango as co-hosts were great. We're just going to sprinkle in Southpaw stuff throughout this podcast. It's freaking hilarious.
Oh, that was great.
Even my dad, who hasn't watched wrestling in deck in, like, when was Goldberg's last match? 12 years ago? So about 12 years.
WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a bit a while ago. Even he, like, got a kick out of that and watched the entire thing. And I was like, Dad, check this out. I just wanted to see him. The Chris Jericho interview where he was, like, bitching.
Mm-hmm.
And then he watched the whole thing and just hear him giggling the entire time.
I just love how I was like, you don't touch my microphone. That's not necessary. You don't do that. This is my microphone.
I don't know about this kid. I don't know about him.
Oh, man, that was great.
We know you only have the job because your dad owns the station. John Cena was hilarious.
Oh, he was fantastic.
But I just love Fandango's random lines like, Susan, call me!
I'm sorry.
Susan and I had a farm once. And then Tyler Breeze as the banker.
Oh.
With his mustache that just kept blowing in the wind. Just kept fixing it. You thought that contract was for me versus you? What am I going to use this chain on you? No. It's you versus... A creature from the sea!
Boom!
I call him Sea Creature! God, that's so good.
That might have to become, like, an avatar of mine somewhere, the Sea Creature.
The Sea Creature.
That might be my new Twitter.
I don't know, I might have to create Chad Too Bad and the Sea Creature and all them in.
Oh! Actually, somebody might have done that. I have to look for that now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
Just create its own show, Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Exactly.
Lethal Leap Year.
Don't spoil it!
I'm not! That's what their special's called, Lethal Leap Year. And then the Ric Flair impersonator actually being Ric Flair.
This is not Ric Flair.
If Southpaw Regional Wrestling could afford Ric Flair, he'd tell you to go to the KFC behind the high school after the Lethal Leap Year, and you could enjoy some woo Tennessee Gold, woo, and maybe if you ask nicely, one of the wrestlers will sign your wrapper.
Hey, that was too much enthusiasm. That was
woo
exactly.
God, was so
I love how they even just wrote in the commercial.
Yeah,
it was a Ric Flair
paid impersonator. God, it's so good. So moving on with Raw. Triple H and Seth Rollins are going to have a non-sanctioned match, which means it's not sanctioned. And every time I think of a non-sanctioned match, you would think I would think of Triple H versus Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam. But no. I think of the WCW movie starring David Arquette.
Ready
I almost called
rumble.
It No Holds Bar. Might as well be. But freaking what's-his-face? Who played the promoter? Can't think of his name. And he was like, that was not sanctioned. It's a non-sanctioned bout. It's so fucking great. I love how that movie like tiptoes the line of it of wrestling being a work and being a shoot.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
And we never got that triple cage.
No, we did. But we did get Dave Arquette as the champ, which is... I feel if they wanted to promote that movie, Oliver Platt should have been WCW champion. That I could get behind. Because Oliver Platt is just gold. He's the
king.
He's like the Rusev of comedy. Because Rusev is all about comedy. God, I'm going to miss Rusev when he goes on the shelf.
Yeah.
Because he's already off
man.
TV.
Yeah, that sucks. It's going to be great when he comes back, though.
It is. It is going to be so great.
He better come back as handsome Rusev.
I hope he comes back with a big push.
That too.
And then we ended Raw with Braun versus Reigns, and then Taker shows up, which is what Taker should have fucking done at Fastlane. But they couldn't get... God, and Taker looks old, by the way.
So, yeah.
We'll get to that.
I mean...
And then Braun comes up to hit Taker, and Taker chokeslams and throws over the ropes. And I can't remember if it was... I think it was King Ross talking about it. He's like, you can just look at the face of Taker. He's like, shit, I fucked up last year. Because apparently it was supposed to be Braun versus Taker last year.
But Braun wasn't ready. He was still really green, is what I remember reading.
Yeah, but you could just see, like, Taker's like, I got a fucking job to Roman Reigns. What's happened to my career? And then Roman Reigns spears him, and Taker just looks old, and Taker looked like that really hurt him.
It probably did really hurt him.
I don't want him to go out on a loss to Roman Reigns. I don't want him to lose to Roman Reigns. But if I never saw Undertaker wrestle again, I would die a happy man. And they really should have put AJ against him. They should have put somebody against
him.
Because, see, Roman Reigns is not bad when he's got somebody to carry him to a match. Roman Reigns is one of those guys, he wrestles to who he's facing.
He's only as good as his opponent. Yeah.
And that's Taker now, because he's old and can't move, which was relevant. Well, we'll go with relevant, not the word I wanted, in his match versus Shane. Because Shane's another guy who can do a lot of high stunts and bumps. But Shane's a guy who just gets his ass kicked.
Oh, yeah.
And just takes a beating, which is entertaining, especially when it's against Kurt Angle.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about the Taker, freaking
Roman Reigns match.
I just don't think it's gonna be any good.
No.
And oh my god, the boos that are gonna rain down if Reigns wins. Like if Reigns wins heelish wise, like if he cheats to win and has outside interference, something that could work. But if he beats him clean,
I feel like they might legit riot. Could you imagine that, though?
Florida, a lot of crazy people in Florida. Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah.
Just because I was in Dallas.
I
could
legit see that happening.
I was in Dallas when freaking Reigns beat Triple H. Because even though we all knew it was going to happen, the boos. Like, and I told you, and I know I said it on the podcast when I got back, I had a whole row of Roman Reigns fans sitting in front of me. I couldn't hear them cheer for shit because of everybody else in the arena booing.
Yeah.
And people...
And it was already loud, because, like, I was watching it on pay-per-view,
the
network, obviously, but it was even loud on TV.
Yeah. Oh, man. So if he beats The Undertaker, though, if he beats The Undertaker, there could be a riot. I don't know.
I feel like that could be a legit riot. At the very least, that's a dip in sales for Roman Reigns.
It's going to be, there's going to be so many angry people. It's
Or a spike in sales for Roman Reigns because people want to burn his shit.
I have to wonder, though, what if Roman Reigns wins via DQ because Braun shows up and beats the shit out of Roman Reigns? What if Braun just shows up? I think Braun's going to be involved in that match.
I feel like that's probably going to be a factor now.
Yeah.
At this point, because he's still feuding with Roman Reigns. At this point, I don't see how he can't be a factor somehow. Whether he screws over Roman Reigns or he just screws over Undertaker and just destroys everybody in the
That'd
ring.
That'd be great because they fed him to Reigns, which was stupid.
Yeah, that was really dumb.
Stupid, Vince. Are you so stupid?
They gave him to Roman Reigns, and he has the only win over Braun Strowman right now.
It's okay. It was clean, too.
Oh, my God.
Moving on to the better show, which is always the better show, SmackDown Live. As we kind of talked at the top of the hour, they don't know what the fuck they're doing with their tag team division.
Was that match at least good? Because I missed it.
It was a good match.
I missed it.
It had a lot of cool false finishes and stuff like that. It had me on the edge of my seat. I was entertained by the match.
It should have been at Mania, shouldn't it?
It should have been Mania. Yeah. That should have happened at Mania. Like a title change 2 weeks before Mania.
That don't make any sense to me.
And it feels like there's a blow off because there's no announcement for them like a rematch at Mania. It's probably going to be the pre-show, which it's kind of where the SmackDown titles belong because they haven't done dick with the SmackDown tag titles. But, yeah, it was a good match. And I was like,
they squandered that rub that they got for American Alpha beating the Wyatts. They squandered that altogether.
Well, they squandered American Alpha's just intro into, because, like, what kind of fucked over American Alpha was how hot Heath Slater and Rhino got.
Because
I guarantee you the original plans was to put the inaugural titles on American Alpha.
Mm.
But they're like, no, we got money right
here.
But
Heath's got kids.
Heath, yeah. There was money to be made with Heath and Rhino, and they put the belts on them. And that slowed American Alpha's momentum, so when American Alpha finally did win, no one cared.
Yeah.
And there were way more cheers for the Usos during that match.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think what needs to happen to save the SmackDown tag division, the Revival's got to come up, and they just got to beat the shit out of everybody. But no flips, just fists.
Oh, the Revival. For a second, I thought you said the Ascension. I was about to be like, but you have to make people care about the Ascension.
Move the Ascension to Raw. There's all... You know, we might have to do a special... we might have to film it this weekend and put it out before Mania, where we have to redraft and just like... Oh, not necessarily redraft, but say, put this person here, put that person there, to like freshen up, because some people need a change of pace. Sami Zayn, for instance, needs to go down to SmackDown. The Ascension, I think, should go to Raw. Throw the New Day on SmackDown. Like, do some mixing up. And some people say Roman Reigns on SmackDown. No, because I don't want him to ruin my favorite show.
Yeah, you keep him on the
show. Yeah, you keep him on Raw, because he's usually in the main event, and I can go to bed early.
Yep.
That's
what I did.
And then another entertaining thing. Oh, entertaining and cringeworthy. Like, I liked it. I laughed. I also kind of cringed. The Miz, Total Bellas.
Oh, the spoofs.
The spoofs. It's kind of like, I was like.
I only saw, I think, the last one, though.
I watched all of them, and they were just, I don't know. I think it was cringeworthy because I could easily see that being John and Nikki's actual relationship.
That would suck.
Because here's the thing. Like, John Cena, it's hard for me to think of him anything outside of his character, John Cena, in wrestling. But because of that Amy Schumer movie...
Oh, no!
Because, for those of you who haven't seen, do you remember what it's called?
Trainwreck?
Trainwreck, yeah. The Amy Schumer movie, Trainwreck. At the beginning of the movie, she's dating, not John Cena, but a character played by John Cena. Mm-hmm. And they're having sex, and he's on top of her. And just the faces he makes, and it's just... Oh! Mm-hmm. Poor Nikki Bella. She has to look up at that nightly.
Mm.
I mean, that image has ruined John Cena. Like, the thought of him outside of wrestling for me. Like, the thought of him being a normal human being.
My face is stuck
ruined.
Like this now.
I know. Oh, it's, God. But you haven't seen it, have you?
No, I saw that scene.
Did you?
Yeah, you showed it to me.
That's right. I made sure
you
saw it.
You scarred me, you son of a bitch.
I had to see it, so did you.
Though he was hilarious in Sisters.
Oh, he was funny in Trainwreck, too. It's just that I could have done without seeing his vinegar strokes. Ugh.
I gotta take this shirt off now.
That's why the Miz skits kind of like made me cringe. I was like, oh, because I kept picturing that face, and it's like, oh! It's just, oh, I couldn't get it out of my head. It haunts my dreams, Sason. It haunts my dreams.
That's what Nikki says.
Probably. Oh. But moving on. Oh, man. They're funny overall. Randy Orton defeated Baron Corbin with the assist from Dean Ambrose distracting Corbin, which was great because after Orton hits the RKO, he gives a little salute to Dean for the pin. Randy, and actually, you know what? It was kind of, I was listening to an interview with Triple H, and it was talking about Kurt Angle going to the Hall of Fame, but he was comparing Kurt Angle to Randy Orton, just naturally gifted. He's like, Randy could be so much better. I was like, are you burying him? Like, you're not even having a match and you're burying him. But I kind of feel the same way. It's like Randy, like we were talking about last night while watching SmackDown.
Yeah.
Randy has these moments where I really like him.
He kind of like teeters.
But I can never get behind him because like, just whenever he's a face, I don't like his personality. He bores me. But that little salute thing, that's a hint of what he could be.
Yeah.
And like, how does he not have charisma? Because A, his dad had great heel charisma and his goddamn godfather was Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
How do you grow up around Roddy Piper and not just that charisma? It should be like a virus. It should just like flow off Piper. Anybody he touches, he's like the Jesus of charisma. It's like, you have charisma now, my son.
Only for a little bit.
but it's just like that. That was one of those moments, like when he was doing the stuff with Bray Wyatt and stuff like that. Again, hints of this like character Randy could become, but then he falls into this blandness. Like, he hasn't really piqued my interest that much. With the exception of the Wyatt stuff, since his Legend Killer days, which was like a decade ago almost.
Oh, yeah, because he was such a smart ass, too.
Yeah, and he was so smarmy, just smack him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, but it's like, I remember me and Hiltabato were talking about like, we started liking Randy Orton when he like took that bump on the thumbtacks against Mick Foley. The guy can go. He'll do those bumps. Because he was kind of just a pretty boy before that.
He did that bump once.
Fuck it. More than I'd ever do. I'm like,
actually, that's very true.
You want to slam me on thumbtacks? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
This face is too pretty to be
I hate it. I hated watching Jericho take that bump because it looked extra painful.
Well, Jericho freaking on Instagram put like him picking the shit out of
Well, because I saw the amount of thumbtacks that went into his arm. Yeah. Oh, like right into the elbow. I was like, no!
I feel this would hurt less.
I don't know about this, Josh. There was a lot right here.
I know, but I just feel like this part of the arm, even into the elbow, would hurt less than the back. Because you gotta remember, this skin's constantly exposed, so it's tougher. This skin is, wrestlers is more exposed, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, I don't want thumbtacks in me.
No, thanks.
I don't like anything else. So after that, Bray played some mind games with a bunch of sheep people in the back, and he put this, like, weird cross thing in front of Randy, which I said to you is like, that's awfully close to his crotch. And then WWE Instagram posted a picture, which is probably going to be the thumbnail for this video, of over-the-shoulder picture of Bray putting that. That cross, that like crossable, right over Randy's crotch at that angle.
I remember your exact wording was, that thing is close to Randy's crotch. Well, Bray is getting awfully close to Randy's crotch.
Bray is getting awfully close to Randy's crotch. I just calls it as a season.
I lost it at that point.
You did. I was trying to remember today what I said to make you laugh so hard last night. That was it. Good times. So, I'm hoping Bray comes out as the champ. I don't think he will. But that will lead into my post-mania prediction. More hints at what it's going to be.
Yes.
So then we move on to Cena versus Fandango, which, again, the Fashion Police steal the show. As Fandango comes out, but then Tyler Breeze comes out as cosplaying as Nikki Bella, even rips the shirt like Nikki does. And then they proceed to hand out fashion tickets to John Cena wearing jorts in 2017. That's a ticket. Ticket. Just handing him tickets. And then, of course, Fandango got beat really quickly.
Yeah.
Which we kind of saw happening.
Did you see the like little breast stuffer things for the bra pop out of Tyler Breeze?
I did not see
that. Yeah, because Nikki took one and just threw it at Tyler Breeze on the ground. He had those like things that you put in like the bras that are supposed to be like
push-ups. That was so freaking hilarious. Why aren't they getting a push? They should have a tag championship match at Mania. Because they're like, they're SmackDown's version of the New Day, except they're heels, and I don't
their get, pants are shimmery now.
I don't get why they don't get like any kind of push, because they're so over right now. Like every podcast I listen to loves them. The Vince. Fans cheer them when they come out. And in fact, you need to follow Tyler Breeze on Instagram. He has like this 5-minute Instagram video of them just randomly handing out tickets. Like they flooded AJ with tickets. They just threw like a bunch of tickets at him. They're at a charity event handing out tickets to people at the charity event. It's gold. I love it so much. And I was so hoping when we were there at SmackDown to get a ticket from the Fashion Police.
Oh, yeah. I wanted a freaking pamphlet from...
But see, I knew I wouldn't get one because, like, freaking... They complimented me on my 3-piece suit when I met them earlier that day.
Oh, hell. You're supposed to be the alternate for Fandango.
I know. Tyler Breeze's backup partner. Yeah. I should have ran in there.
You know what I think it might be? I think Fandango might unfortunately suffer from the Christian disease. Vince doesn't like his face.
That's a pretty face.
Yeah, oh. I'm just saying. That might be it. Either that or he doesn't like Fandango. One of the two.
I don't know. And Tyler Breeze had a great gimmick coming up. Like, he had this, like, Dolph Ziggler,
Rick it was a Rue, classic.
Shawn Michaels.
It was a classic gimmick.
But it was updated for the money because he had the selfie stick and probably the coolest, like, Titantron of anybody.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole selfie. Like, you actually... it was so great.
Yeah, it was
you know, it's Summer Rae. She's just killing everybody. Like, her whole thing with Dolph Ziggler and Rusev. Rusev's the only one who came out of that unscathed. That kind of, like, derailed Dolph for a while.
Yeah.
She was with Tyler Breeze. That derailed him.
She started off with Fandango.
Yeah, that's right.
He was DOA.
DOA. He gets to meet Jericho, and that's it. Summer Rae is the Yoko Ono
of wrestling. And I like Summer Rae. Oh,
I like her, too. Just don't fucking team with her. It's the end of your career.
Yeah.
And then we closed Mania with AJ waiting for Shane in the parking lot. Comes up to a limo, and it's Rhino and Heath.
Randomly, Rhino and Heath.
Why are they showing up to the end of SmackDown?
Yeah.
Why even come at that point? You don't have a match. Exactly. Why are you there? Yeah. And then Shane's waiting for him in the ring, and AJ comes down, and they have a little scuffle, and Shane does a lethal leap off the turnbuckle to end the night with both of them in kind of a heap. Yeah, that's how it ended. And Shane barely hit AJ. Like, coming down, like, we got that much.
Yeah, maybe a graze.
But I think that was the point, though. Yeah. Just, it looked good on camera, but when you
saw because it, yeah, if you see the camera angle that they were shooting at for the initial elbow job, it was from, like, this side of AJ.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm still in frame.
I was still, like, and hit him.
Yeah. It kind of looked like he might have hit him from that angle because it was a low angle from behind.
Yeah, because you got to figure that kind of elbow drop, because you're jumping so far, it's probably really hard to soften it. Because you've got to think about physics. Because it's one thing, like, if you're doing a regular elbow drop in the ring, because the regular elbow drop, when they hit it, they come across the body like that. So this is the part hitting the body. The elbow's coming off of the body. And they're hitting here first.
Mm-hmm.
So this takes the impact. This kind of lands.
Absorbing a lot of momentum. Yeah.
So that doesn't hurt. When you're jumping off a long distance onto a table, it's really hard
flailing your arm.
Yeah, it's really hard to distribute your weight and not hurt somebody.
Because that's something I always notice with Shane. He's like...
That's because he's willing himself to make that distance. Like, I can fly! So, yeah, so that kind of distance and everything that has to go in when trying to hit that move, you probably can't distribute your weight, so you want to just angle them like that. So you just graze them. That's probably how I do it. So that's how SmackDown ended. It was a decent SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Raw was decent. I mean, I have no complaints about anything other than where the fuck is Finn Balor?
Yeah.
So anyways, our post-Mania predictions. With the recent announcement of a contract being offered to the Hardy Boys, they will not be at Mania. They will not be on Monday Night Raw. They are going to show up with Bray Wyatt. Broken Bray Wyatt. And
it's an interesting...
And maybe...
Interesting theory.
Just maybe. Bo Dallas.
They need to do something with Bo. Just and put him with Bray already.
Put him with Bray. Put him with the Hardys. And then we just have...
The new Wyatt family.
The new brood. The broken brood.
Yeah.
Get Gangrel back, too. They had him on the Edge and Christian show.
He can be their manager.
Yeah. Actually, because teaming the Hardys with Bray would look cool. And then bringing Bo in there would be even cool. Because then you have brother and brother teaming with brothers.
Yeah.
Be great. That's my post-Mania prediction. What's yours, Jason?
Hmm. I'm sticking with Reigns is actually finally going to be a heel.
That is a bold prediction.
I'm sticking with it.
I don't think it's going to play out.
I don't think it's going to play out, but I'm sticking with it.
Especially with the whole... Oh, that's one thing I didn't add to the doc, but we'll talk about it real quick. The whole Reigns versus Brock for the Universal title
next year. Damn it, I blocked that out and you reminded me.
I'm just hoping that's just bullshit. Just
I hope it's bullshit.
Saying
yeah.
something.
Because, I mean, we've seen it before. That's all I really have to say about it.
We've seen it before, and they had to send Seth Rollins down for the save.
Yeah, exactly. We saw it before. I don't want to see it again.
No one wants to see it again. And I don't want that to be the main event. Because I don't... Because, A, Brock's probably going to beat Goldberg. I don't want to see Brock hold on to that belt for a year. That's a whole year of the Universal title.
Just not be on TV. Yeah, that's bullshit.
And then, fuck Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Again.
No, thank you.
He's not
no Stone Clam
Cold
Digger.
Or Shawn Michaels. Or, to a lesser extent, John Cena. He ain't any of them. And I think those are our only three-time winners. Or two-time winners. How Stone Cold's the only three-time winner.
How many times did Triple H win?
Oh, I think he won twice, too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. But anyways. He ain't none of them.
That's where we're going to end this show. So, on that one, show.